the first reading from Isaiah today, just to try to lock in the three readings, because I think they are very interconnected. Isaiah talks about this this time of recovery. They're just back from the fact that they had been pushed off to Babylon in exile. And they're returning. And so they're returning to their tradition, returning to their life of faith, returning to the great teaching of Yahweh. And so they begin these great fasts and all of those rituals that are surrounding the temple because they wanted to rebuild that temple. And Isaiah says to them, that's not a bad thing. But do not forget that the greatest fast, the greatest prayer, is that you will see the needs of people who are poor and broken and separated and lost. So while we must pray, while we must keep our traditions, while we need to fast, the real deal, the translation of that, the interconnected that with life, is that we then make sure that it's not some self-absorbed prayer or fast, but that it always connects us with our brothers and sisters. And so it's about that great call of Isaiah that we must feed the hungry and we must take care of those who have less and all of those things. And so I think that first teaching is a critical part of what Christ will say later in his Gospel of Matthew today. The second reading is Corinthians, Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And Paul suggests that Corinth is a city that's sophisticated and well educated. And so they're always looking for fanciful teachers, people that come with new insights, people who have some great mind, some articulation. And Paul says, that's not how I came to you. I came preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified. I came as a broken man. I came as one like you. I did not come with fancy talk, although I'd say Paul was one of the great preachers of our time. But that isn't what he came to bring. He came to bring them the truth of Jesus Christ, the message of Christ, a personal relationship with Christ. And as a result of that, it was the crucified Christ. It was this love of Christ in the struggle of the human condition of Corinth that he came to preach and to teach, and not as some great new teacher who would delight their fancy and in some way be accepted by those who were looking for that at that particular time. And then that Gospel of Matthew that describes what I think is such a great reading for us, and I hope today I can do it justice, but it's the salt and the light. You know, we certainly don't need an explanation. We all want that taste, that little, you know, zing to food, and it gives flavor and delight to whatever we are eating, even though we're told not to do too much of it because it'll kill you. But it does, it's a flavorful part of our diet. And light, especially in the darkness of an age, in the darkness of a room, in the darkness of the human condition, to be that light and to be that salt for humankind. Care for the poor, preaching this relationship with Jesus Christ and realizing that we are then called to do the same. Joan Chittister, great person and part of our tradition that we try to follow, Benedictine nun, sister, says, every spiritual master in every tradition talks about the significance of small things in a complex world. Small actions in social life, small efforts in the spiritual life, small moments in the personal life, all of them become great in the long run, the mystics say. But all of them look like little or nothing in themselves. So we have to be careful. We're not salt and light when we do great things. We're salt and light when we do little things. I had a poor guy this morning. I came to the church about 7 o'clock and the lights were not on yet. And a poor guy was sitting there and he was a little bit agitated and he didn't have socks. And he said, me, can I have a pair of socks? Well, you know, I've got a lot of old socks that I can give people. But I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give him a brand new pair of socks today because I was reading this gospel. Well, that's a tiny little thing. you know, so I said, come on out. So we gave him a game. He's got a pair of brand new socks on now. And it's a little thing. I'm not saying look at me, but I'm just saying, you know, it doesn't mean great things necessarily. Maybe some of you, a lot of you are called to great things, but it isn't so much that. It's those little singular things that we do. That's the following of Jesus Christ, and that's the light, and that's the salt, and that's what I think this gospel proclaims to us. I don't think that's easy, but I think it at least takes us a little off the hook, because we all do our best, I think, at trying to do those little things for people in life, and I hope that that's true. But the second thought that I have, I've got three thoughts today, so hold on, folks. The second thought I have is from my friend John Shea. And he talks about this in a little different light. He is saying that the salt and the light is a challenge for us to think a little bit more creatively, to think a little bit more energetically, to not just do what we do and fulfill what we fulfill in our normal kind of way at which we do our lives, but that we should at least think about newer ways at doing the things that we do. And I'm attracted to that by my person. And it just strikes me. And this is the quote that he uses from Teilhard de Chardin. He says, Chardin wrote that the only worthwhile joy in this world is that of cooperating as one individual atom in the final establishment of this world. When his friends said that they did not feel this drive in them, he said to them, you are not searching to the full depth of your heart and mind. And that moreover, that is why the cosmic sense and faith in a world is dormant in you. Jesus' words that we are salt of the earth and light to the world are meant to awaken our cosmic sense and our faith in this world. The awakened sense unfolds into experiments on every level. It helps us to think a little bigger, to think a little newer, to think a little bit more creatively. So Chardin is saying that light and salt isn't just doing those little things that we all know and think and believe, but that maybe inside us there is something that we know we need to fulfill in our world, in our lives, and that only we are called to do that. I don't know if you get that sense, but I think that's something that we all feel, and that's what Chardin is trying to put his finger on. And I saw that film this week, The Rite. I don't know if you've had the chance to see that yet. But what struck me about the film, whether you can argue for the, you know, exorcism or non-exorcism or the devil or whatever. But what strikes me in this film is this, and this is my last thought, so three thoughts and I'll finish. That when we are on the verge of something, when something is lurking inside us that we really know and feel and think it's the right thing to do, when something is about to happen that is really good, it seems to me that that's the time when we experience the onslaught of the evil one. And I tell you, I stand before you in confession today. There have been so many times when I know in my heart, this is really something I need to move on or something I need to do. And for one reason or other, I either get talked out of it or I get negatively talked about it from someone that dissuades me, or I back away from it because it's going to be uncomfortable or too difficult, or it might stretch me, or whatever that is. Have you ever felt that? And I think that's what that film is saying. I think the film is saying that evil lurks in this world. There is an evil spirit, devil, call it what you will. And that we may not be possessed by it, but I think we are often dissuaded from those things in our life that could be wonderful in the great plan of our God. Something that only God has given us to do. And yet somehow we shrink from it because someone says you can't do it or you shouldn't do it or it's the wrong thing to do. Or we're afraid, you know, those things that so often surround our hearts and minds and lives. So that's the message that I try my best to share with you each Sunday, the great call for all of us. I think Joan Chittister is so right. The things that look so small and can so often be so much of a blessing for someone in life. That all of us, my brothers and sisters, I think, have that great gift inside us that is only ours for the good of God's great creation, and that we must be alert and aware because we have a cunning, baffling, and powerful part of life that can so often dissuade us. Amen.